This is the season of empowerment. It is wise that the first month of the year is dedicated to seeking the face of the Lord to empower his people. A journey of 12 months. This is as if we are paying a tithe of 1 month out of the 12. So it is a very wise decision. Please, let's clap for the shepherd of this church. We've been doing it. I think this should be the third one. And whenever we do it, testimonies follow. No program is done in Bride Assembly Church religiously. Every program we do in this ministry is backed up by a revelation. We are not religious people. Gathering on Friday night is not a religious gathering. It is backed up by revelation. Coming for anointing service on Thursday is not religious. It is backed up by revelation. Our camp meetings, our prayer programs, there is nothing we do in this ministry that we cannot show you that this is a revelation leading us. And the Bible says that the just shall live by what? Revelation. And we started the empowerment yesterday, Thursday, I mean. If you connected to the empowerment hour from your home or wherever, those that are here, can I see your hand? You connected. If you did not connect, you missed though. I have to be honest with you. Because the powerful nuggets that was coming out from the mouth of our daddy in the Lord. In fact, after the service, when I went to daddy's office, I said, after this program, everybody will be rapturable. Eh? Those that were that heard the sermon yesterday, you agree with me. Now, after this empowerment program, every member of Brother Assembly Church is supposed to be rapturable. If you're not rapturable after this empowerment program, then we have to beg God to write your name in the book of life. I speak by revelation. Praise the living God. So before we go to our communion, before we take the communion this morning, it's already morning, let's drop a few empowerment keys also. A few empowerment keys. Can we see Matthew chapter 16 from verse 18? Okay, let's take it from verse 13. Matthew chapter 16 from verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. The what? The Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18 is my emphasis. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail. Verse 19 is where we are going to. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Can someone say after me, keys? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. That means the kingdom that we belong to has keys. And a key is supposed to open a lock, a door. So if the Lord Jesus is saying that he will give Peter keys, that means there are doors to be opened in the kingdom. Are we together? If he's saying, I will give you, you know, he didn't even say key. He said keys, plural. That means there are doors to be opened, different doors, different keys. The key for your pickup, Brother Yinka, cannot open your Toyota. Is that right? Different vehicles, different keys. So when the Lord Jesus is saying that we give unto you keys, it means that there are different doors to open. Somebody praise the living God. And this is very, very, very important for us to know. Because we are talking about empowerment. Empowerment is not in receiving an anointing oil poured on your head and you will go. For instance, no matter the type of anointing oil, whether it is anointing oil, olive oil mixed with mustard seed from Galilee or Jerusalem, even if it's 5 gallons that is poured upon the head of a stingy person, it can never open the door of prosperity. You know, this generation, people are careful about talking about giving and receiving now because of preachers like Abel Damina that are coming out to say all manner of things. But how do you answer? How does he answer scriptures like 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. What? How do you answer it? Let nobody deceive you. This is Apostle Paul speaking. If you read from verse 1, you will know what he was saying. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly. That means there is sowing and reaping in the New Testament. Shall do what? Reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? For God loveth a cheerful giver. Is this not in the Bible? You know, some, they'll tell you tithe is Old Testament, but this one, is it not New Testament? So no matter the anointing oil or the prophecy from Prophet Sidney, Prophet Joseph, Prophet Boboye, Prophet Jayola that you receive, if you are stingy, you cannot open the door of prosperity. Are we together? That is not even the area I'm going to today. I'm not even talking about that. Because anytime people talk about giving unto the Lord, giving to the poor, people think the preacher wants to enrich himself. But many of us that God has helped in life, we can tell you it is by these little principles. I love what our daddy used to say, that a poor man cannot teach prosperity. Yes, it's very true. Also, in the Christian faith, if you have not yet experienced poverty before and God lifted you up, you cannot boldly share the key of prosperity. So when some of us look at the humble beginnings that God brought us from, and we can tell you that these were the things we are doing, it works. This Bible is the book of life. How do you explain Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27? These are not even part of the keys I want to touch, but I'm saying this to whet your appetite. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Oh, is it Proverbs 19, verse 27? I think I'm mistaking the scripture. Sorry. I know it's Proverbs 19, verse 17 rather. I'm sorry, not 27, verse 17. This is thus says the Lord. This is not whether Old Testament, Proverbs is not Old Testament or New Testament. It is book of life. It says, he that hath pity upon the poor, what does he do? Oh, brethren, read with me now. What does he do? That means God is owing you. God is your debtor. And he says, what you have given God, what will he do? He will pay you back. Can you see? It is a key. Father, give me prosperity. Open doors of breakthrough for me. And your hand is like this. Your hand is like this. You can't even help the poor around you or give to the work of God. You don't have the key to open the door of prosperity. Sister Confidence, how are you now? Don't say anything to please also. Check your body. Your strength is being restored. Amen. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. Don't worry. By the time you take the communion, you'll be completely restored. The anointing is still upon her. Praise the living God. Are we together? No matter, it is the door of breakthrough is not opened by fasting and prayer. If fasting and prayer removes the demon that is saying you will not prosper, God still expects something from you. The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. Have you imagined it? God loveth a cheerful giver. Are we together? So don't let these new age preachers that are trying to gain attention tell you there's nothing like that in the Bible. It is there. God, it is a key that must be, it is a door rather that must be opened. The key to the door of prosperity is giving. We are talking about empowerment. So that you will not frustrate yourself this year. Are we together? See what giving does. Do you know that this issue of giving and receiving was so important that Apostle Paul used two whole chapters in 2 Corinthians to talk about this principle? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. Let's see chapter 8. To be very sincere, this was not the point I wrote, but I believe God wants to talk to somebody. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. See something from verse... Okay, let's read that of chapter 9. Let's take it from verse 13. The effect. In fact, let's take it from verse 9. We're 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We read verse 7, Rabbi. Let's continue from verse 8 so that we'll continue the thought. Verse 7 ended with, and God loveth a cheerful giver. See what verse 8 says. And God is able to make all grace. Is this our year of abundant grace? He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So he's even referring to helping the poor and the needy as a good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Verse 10. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, that is God, is the one that gives you that seed, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your own righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service, this exercise, this service of helping the poor, he says, not only supplies the want of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Because you are helping the poor, they are going to return glory to God. So God is receiving more thanksgiving. Ah, Brother David, Father, I thank you for the life of Brother David that took away this reproach from me. Everybody is thanking God for you. Let's read them. We have not finished. He said, that is what this exercise is doing. Why? By the experiment of this ministration, what did they do? They glorify God for your professed obedience, subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your generous distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So let nobody tell you anything. There is, we don't serve God by a contract. Father, as I do this for you, you do this for me. No. But God rewards diligence, service, and faithfulness. So one that expects God to visit him in the area of his finance must also be liberal unto all men. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. In fact, Galatians chapter 6 from verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 from verse 7. And don't say you don't have anything to give. Delete anything you have. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Now, 9 and 10. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, what will happen? If you faint not. Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, what should we do? Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm only using this as an intro to the empowerment keys we are talking about. That there are keys in the kingdom because there are doors to be opened. And I said one door to be opened is the door of prosperity. Because there is a promise that I wish above all things that you prosper and do what? And be in health, even as your soul prospers. But if you will prosper financially, you must be liberal. You must be generous. The key to financial prosperity in our kingdom is in you being generous. Don't miss it. There are keys in the kingdom. Now, for today, the keys I want us to focus on. The first key is attitude towards others. Empowerment keys. Number one for today, attitude towards others. There is a story in the Bible that many of us, whenever we read it, we don't like the story, but it teaches us something because nothing is in the Bible by accident. 2 Samuel chapter 15 from verse 1. It is the story of Absalom. 2 Samuel chapter 15 from verse 1. Let's read it. And it came to pass. You know what happened to Absalom? Absalom was the son of David. From his mother's side, he had a sister, a beautiful sister called Tamar. And then the first son of David, Amnon, lusted after Tamar and raped her. And because of that, Absalom was angry and took two full years to plot his revenge. And then he avenged the rape of his sister by killing Amnon. So he ran away from Israel, went on exile in his grandfather, maternal grandfather's land, because his mother was not an Israelite, was from another country. But he was there. And then Joab, knowing that David longed after his son, arranged for Absalom to come back. So Absalom came back and he was reconciled to his father, blah, blah, blah. So now he's restored back in the homeland. Let's read. He's now back as a prince. Let's read on. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Pay close attention, brother. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gates. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and he said, of which city are you coming from? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribe of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said moreover, oh, that I were made a judge in the land, that every man which had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I will do him justice. And it was so. See what Absalom did. When any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, because he's a prince, so when they come to bow before him, what does he do? He will put his hand and take him up. Do as if you want to bow and greet me. And I say, no, don't bow now. I would rather argue, you know, and we kiss the person. So let's read. Go back to verse 5. And it was so that when any man came now to do him obeisance, he pulled forth his hand and took him up. Don't bow to me, and kissed him. Are you seeing him? Are you seeing the humility and everything? And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. This is my emphasis. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. By what? By his attitude. You may remove the scripture. Empowerment. This is it. Brethren, our overseer in this ministry is always saying it, that God has ordained to use man to answer the prayer of man. God has ordained to use man to bless man. An angel, Angel Michael, Angel Gabriel, Angel Namdi, may bring your blessing to you in the spirit, but it will take angel human being to give it to you physically. An angel may appear to you in the dream and give you that check. The other day, our daddy was saying, how many of you saw me in the dream? Of course, it was the angel of the Lord. Some people are saying, I saw you giving me visa. I saw you giving me this. I saw you giving me that. One mommy said, I saw you giving me rice. Was it daddy she saw? It was an angel. It was the covenant angel of the ministry. But it took a physical angel to bring it to manifestation. If you will ever be blessed on the surface of the earth, you cannot despise the ministry of men. God has ordained it, that in the journey to greater heights, there must be a man that God will use to push you there. Because you are living in a physical world. When they were in the wilderness, manna was falling. But when God was going to establish them, he gave them houses that they did not build, vineyards that they did not plant, that other men have already made ready. So he said, go and drive them out. And he inherited the things that they've done. So the houses that they inherited in the promised land did not fall from heaven. It was men that built them. The farms that they inherited in the promised land, it was not the angel that planted the field. It was men. Are we together? So God will always use man to answer man. The problem is that many people miss their blessing by their attitude towards other men. Destiny cannot be delayed. Destiny cannot be denied. You can thwart God's purpose over your life by your attitude. Are we together? When Joseph was confronted with the most difficult situation, Potiphar's wife. What made Joseph to flee was not that the woman was not beautiful. That was not his statement. He said, how can I do this wickedness? So he was considering his master. He said, my master has not kept anything back from me except you. How then will I do this wickedness? So at that point, don't think Joseph was impotent. No. Or don't think he was not moved by the attraction of a beautiful lady. There was something else that Joseph was looking at. And what moved him there was his attitude to Potiphar. This man that has been good to me, why should I repay him back with evil? And he fled. Are we together? Brothers and sisters, this is a new year. And it shall be fruitful unto us in the name of Jesus. But without the right attitude towards men, you may miss many blessings. And you know something? Many a times God will not tell you whom he has ordained to help you. And every one of us needs help. Every one of us does. We say Dangote is the richest man in Nigeria. If we don't buy his sugar, his cement, and his products, how will he remain rich? So the poor man that is using his money to buy his products is part of the people helping him. If a scandal should come now that brings down that company, that brand, and nobody wants to patronize them anymore, won't he run down? So everybody needs the ministry of men. Brothers and sisters, as we begin this year, as you stay in prayer, in fasting, please watch your attitude towards others. We believers, the Lord Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. That means the attitude of Christians is supposed to be sweet. We are supposed to be salty. People are supposed to be seeing us, taste us, and be thirsty. We are supposed to add value. We are supposed to make the soup sweet. Brethren, this new year, for those that want a fulfilling life, watch your attitude towards others. Part of the attitude you should watch towards others is the attitude of pride. Don't look down on anybody. Don't look down, whether you know him or not. Christians are not taught to be eye-shouldered. Don't look down on anybody. Yesterday, our daddy was talking about pride. No matter the level that the Lord has taken you to, it can always take you to higher levels. But pride can hinder you from going further. And the painful thing is, some of the people that are even proud, they have humble beginnings. So what has made you to forget where God took you from? And now you feel you're on top of the world because of little advantages you have, maybe materially. Whenever there is pride, there is a full stop to progress. If truly your progress is coming from God. We must watch attitude towards others. Anger, unnecessarily, bitterness, and every other untoward attitude towards men must not be part of our lives this year if we will progress. Every prophecy that has been given to you will be fulfilled through the instrumentality of men. So you don't know the man that God will use. Don't frustrate the grace of God in your life. God's grace can be frustrated. It is a year of abundant grace, but don't frustrate that grace. Don't put yourself in a prison that you built by yourself because of your attitude towards others. Some people make others cry. And they don't cry in your front. They go to their closet and cry when they think about what you did to them. Do you know that our Bible says our God is a just God? That person is crying in the secret place because of you. The angel of that person will appear before God. What will God say concerning you? Galatians 6:7. Let's read it again. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So you want men to bless you, bless men. You want men to make you cry, make men cry. You want men to make you happy, make people happy. Are we together, brethren? Let's not be the category of people that they call Christian witches. They pray, they shout fire, but they're wicked. And then when you come around them, there seems to be no progress as a result of their wickedness. You can shout fire, and your fire might not be able to consume anything because of the wickedness of your heart. Really, let's wake up and allow God to work on us. God is ever willing to change us. The only thing is, are we honest and sincere with ourselves? And have we submitted ourselves to God to work on us? Don't repeat, don't allow the frustrations of previous years happen again this year. Watch your attitude towards me. What makes you think you cannot be spoken to? What makes you think you are bigger than everybody? Sometimes God allows people that we think we are higher than to actually do something that will emulate us, to check whether we still have pride. In my little ministry experience, I've seen it. Some things will happen. They will be checking me, a pastor. Then you remember, pastor is title, though. Before you became pastor, you are Christian. Better let it go and allow God judge. Last year, I mentioned the story of a sister who did something very painful to me. Very, very painful. And I let it go. That's a sincere fact. Then the prophets were praying. We were together. And it was Prophet Benjamin. Brother Hassan, I don't even recall that day. He mentioned it, that this sister that came from outside the country. Prophet Benjamin does not know her. But he said, I saw her in daddy's office with you. God is saying this because of this thing she did against you. God is saying there's something she's expecting, and he will not do it for her until she apologizes and I pray for her. You know, he doesn't know her. You're a witness to it. When he said it that day, I said, truly, when they say forgive, it is truly to let go and let God. Now, this time around, I'm not the one that is now proud. It's now God that is lifting me high. The first thing that came to mind, so you mean, I'm so important that God can decide to fight my battle for me like that. Something very, very painful. There's no need saying it. And she's doing it. She didn't feel just unnecessary pride. But God mentioned it. Are we together? Why am I saying this? We must watch our attitude. We must. That person might not have money like you, but don't hurt that person. Do you know that the Bible says that? Oh, there's a scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs 19, if I'm not mistaken. It says, whoso mocketh the poor. IT, if you can help me get that scripture. It says, whoso mocketh the poor, reproacheth his maker. Proverbs 17, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 5. Can we have that scripture? It says, whoso mocketh the poor, reproacheth who? So you are not reproaching him. It is God that you are reproaching. Attitude towards others. It might not be money. Whenever we say God will use a man to help you, it's not necessarily money, because if you're a billionaire, it might not be money you're looking for. But there's always one thing that God will use a man to help you to do. Our daddy in the Lord shared the testimony that the present president of Nigeria told him some years back before he became president. Ada is so generous. The mother of a young man came to him crying for help that the son wants to go to America for whatever, whatever. Well, he helped because he's known to be generous. He said many years later, he was in the U.S. for a surgery. And that surgery is just one consultant that can do that particular operation. And now the young man he helped many years ago, whether he's serving with that surgeon or something. And the man is going on vacation for 6 months or something like that. But when he was in the hospital and this young man came in, I was, Asiwaju, started telling him how he helped him in time pass. Because of him, protocols were broken. So is it money that he benefited from him? No. Are we together? Be in the business of making people happy. Even if you don't have money, have a smile and a good character. Have a sweet spirit. Not agbero type of person. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can say anything. That attitude will not take you far in the kingdom. You will lock the door of progress with that attitude. So when we are talking about empowerment, you must watch your attitude towards others. Absalom won the hearts of the children of Israel by what? By his attitude towards them. Now, whether he was pretending or not is another thing. Whether he had an ulterior motive was another thing. But the Bible said he stole the hearts of the men of Israel to the extent that they forgot the king that was anointed by God. They forgot the Goliaths that David brought down. They forgot the past victories of David. Because his son stole their hearts by his attitude. The power of attitude. Your attitude towards others, your character towards others can break protocols for you. When we were in the minister's conference last year, the major general that came to speak to us, I don't know how many people can remember, he made a statement. He said, he is the, you know, he grouped people into type A, type B, that kind of thing. So he said, he is this particular type of people that they always focus on their work, they are very good. But others that are social, he said they were the ones that were getting promoted. So one day somebody told him, come, you are good at what you do, but you don't even relate properly with this, your bosses. You go just remain there. And he said when he changed, that was what brought about his promotion. Others that were not serious as him, but they care about your guy. Ah, oh God, how do you do, sir? Or God, your family, or God, those little things went far. But him that was just very good at what he does, he's very good, but not very appreciated because he was not appreciating others. We must watch our character this year. Our attitude towards others. If your attitude is good, you will reap good. Your attitude towards others is bad, it will turn back to you. Absalom. You will come and a old prince will say, why are you buying down for me? We will raise you up, make you feel big. He was displaying humility. They started to see a devil in David and started to see an angel in Absalom. No wonder the Bible says that Satan will come as an angel of light. Are we together, brethren? So, in as much as we are shouting fire this year, watch your attitude towards others who. And it's simple as you come to the church, a coordinator is saying, sit down here. And before, he says, sit down here, please. You have given him an essay. Write an essay of how you came to Bride Assembly Church. You have compounded insult upon insult. He speaks so much about you. He speaks so much, especially if you're a single sister. You have entered Black Book. You will wonder how news travel. News travel now, and it is bad news that travel faster. Let Brother Lumide be caught in a scandal. It will travel fast. Even people that did not used to care or appreciate when he was doing good, now them go, they broadcast the bad way they hear pass. He preached good sermon. You didn't even say thank you. But yet that he fell into fornication. Now you go talk and pass. That is how human beings are. Bad news travel faster. So whenever you display a bad character, bad attitude, you'll be wondering how people got to know. Let's watch our character. The attitude we display towards others is very necessary. It's a key to progress. I believe and agree with the saying that says, your attitude determines your altitude. That means your attitude determines how high you can go, how high you can fly. Your attitude determines it. Why is it that you are going on the road, your vehicle spoils, and other church members, they will see and pass. But another person's vehicle will spoil, and many vehicles will wait to help that person. If you look well, if it be your attitude, maybe when you drive, go one day, because that brother, no get car, you splash out water, you can't even stop to say sorry. So now that he has a car, your own comes spoil. He's not going to wait for you. When it's going, you just look. Are we together, brethren? Let us learn from Absalom. He displayed a wisdom that many Christians lack. He displayed a wisdom. And it also reveals some lapses in the life of David. You know, he was old at that time. So maybe David has stopped relating properly with those Israelites the way he used to do. Because how will a plot to remove him, that could be so thick. And many people, even the counselor of David, Ahithophel, David's counselor, David's own counselor, that means David's special advisor, even him was involved in the coup. Praise the Lord. As wise as Ahithophel was, that the Bible said that when you ask Ahithophel of counsel, it is like when you have inquired from the angel of God. Absalom was still able to steal his heart by his character. Is your character or attitude winning people's hearts to you or chasing them away from you? It's true that we cannot please man, but we must be like Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Let your conscience be at least clear. He says, and herein I do exercise myself to have always a conscience void to offense toward God and toward men. Let my conscience be clear that I've done my own part, that I did not offend you. I did not do you bad. Are we together, brethren? If you are with me, shout power. It's like the brothers are more alive tonight. Sisters, if you are with me, shout power. Thank you. So we must watch our attitude. You as a wife, you are complaining that your husband hides things from you. He's secretive. He doesn't tell me things. Trust his end. Why will your husband be relating with you that way? Check well if it be your attitude. It's the truth. Meanwhile, another person's wife, the husband will not do anything without letting her know. Even the ATM pin, everything. But you, why is your wife? Why is your own husband hiding things from you? Not everything is demon powers from my father's house, foundational power. Sometimes the foundational power that we need to be delivered from is ourselves, our own character. If your husband doesn't have trust in you, if he doesn't have confidence, if he cannot get good peace from you, then he will avoid trouble. Watch your attitude. How do you relate with him? How do you react when he tells you things? What do you do? Many a times, it's not only through evil perfume or food that side chicks win the heart of men. Sometimes it is true character. That's the truth. You made the house a living hell for him. But the side chick, maybe she owns a shop where he comes to buy things. And anytime he comes there, she becomes an angel. Thank you. She makes him feel at home. What will he do? May we know push our blessings away from us by our character. Let's watch it. And some of us, I was talking of pride. God will just lift you up small, not knowing that he still has greater heights for you. Then you will think you have arrived. You will think you have arrived. It might be in the ministry or money. You will think you have arrived. You will think you have arrived. Whenever you do so, don't forget what I said. Whenever there is a full stop, whenever there is pride, rather, God puts a full stop to progress. So let us watch our character this year so that we will not rob ourselves of our blessings. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember this principle in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Just that first statement, okay? In fact, everything is necessary. Honor all. That truck pusher, that wheelbarrow man that carries your market goods, even that conductor that is shouting, ewole, ewole, honor all men, including your gate man that opens gate for you and says, good morning, sir, good morning, man. Because before, Joseph was saying good morning to Potiphar, but after, Potiphar was saying good morning, sir, to Joseph. You know something? If Potiphar had not been good to Joseph, no. Let's go on an imaginary drive now. What do you think would have become of Potiphar's wife after they announced Joseph as the prime minister of Egypt? Do you know what Pharaoh said about Joseph? He said, I am Pharaoh. Without you, no man will lift up leg or hand in Egypt. He says, it is only in the throne that I will be greater than you. So, Joseph was actually the ruler of Egypt. How do you think Potiphar's wife would have behaved that day? When her husband came home, my dear, you don't hear? Ah, Joseph is now our Lord. Which Joseph? We act with me now, sister, because what did they do? You know, Sabi act. Which Joseph?
Which Joseph?
The Joseph where you put inside prison, huh? The one where you put inside prison. She's talking.
Seriously?
No. You know act and where? You know act and where? The Joseph where you put inside prison. Hey! I'm sure she would have run away from Egypt that day. Because she didn't treat him well. That's the truth. And if Joseph was vengeful, if Joseph was vengeful, what would he have done back to her? Be careful how you treat men. That you see him is lower than you. You don't know where God has ordained for him to be. You don't know the journey he's embarking on. And apart from that, whether he's ordained to be great or not, God has given a commandment in 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men. Don't treat people as trash. He says, he that mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. How do you treat your fellow men? Then he says, the brotherhood in the Christendom. He says, love the brotherhood. So, do you show love? You know what the Bible says about love? Love thinketh no evil. Love is not proud. Love does not boast. Love is not easily angered. And many other things. Brethren, if we can watch our character in year 2025, I believe that we are on the platform to advance. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. Watch it. I have the principle that this is how we treat everybody. By the grace of God being a pastor, I have a PA and a secretary. I don't refer to them as my PA and my secretary, just like that. Brother Frank is there. I don't know if Sister Sarah is sitting there. Come to my office and see how we relate. Now, that doesn't mean they don't know that I'm their boss. No. But we relate as brethren. They were so pleased with me that on my birthday, they surprised me. I didn't demand it from them. What will your own staffs working under you, what can they do about you? Some of us are Christians, but in our compound, if you're a Christian, I don't want to serve Jesus. That's what some people are saying. You enter an office and your colleagues don't have peace again because of pride and because of you're a scorpion. What's your attitude? In your business place, how do you relate with others? They're evil people. What did he say? He says, if a man's way pleases the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. They're evil people, but we know where we'll go meet. We'll go meet for spirit. But physically, my brother, how you day? You relate well with them. Let them do anything they're doing. You will meet me in the midnight. Show you an evil man. Are we together? So Christians are supposed to be salty. If we are, we will find favor both before God and before men. Watch your attitude in the year 2025. Be salty. Somebody shout hallelujah. The second key I want to drop, I just have three this night, three or four, is keep the right associations. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Keep the right associations. The popular adage, it says, okay, be not deceived. Evil communications do what? The amplified version of the Bible would say, be not deceived. Evil company, association, communication, everything together in bracket, corrupts good manners. The popular adage that says birds of same feather flock together. It says, show me your friend. And what will I do? I'll tell you who you are. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men, what will happen to him? He that walketh with wise men shall be, but a companion of fools, what will happen to them? The company you keep can also determine how far you go. Imagine a young man that is not an armed robber, but your company, they're all armed robbers. You hang out with armed robbers. The day police will come to raid, won't you be included in it? They'll be keeping their intelligence. They're always seeing you with them. Many young men in higher institutions are falling victims to cultism war as a result of the friends they keep. The opposing courts are seeing you together with these people. You're in their room, you're always hanging out with them, and there's already a war going on that you know nothing of. Then the day they will decide to strike, God will not help you. Also with them that day. You know, the same thing has happened in the Bible. The story of Jehoshaphat. It's God that saved Jehoshaphat. Let's read it. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 22. Verse 29. 1 Kings 22 verse 29. You know, Jehoshaphat was the king of southern Israel, Judah. And he went to join himself with Ahab, a king that God has ordained to be destroyed. And they went to war together. Who are you going to war with? So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, can you see the wise king of Israel? I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. But you, put on your clothes. Let them know you are the king. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 30 and 2 captains that had the rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, only with the king of Israel. And they don't know him. The king will be identified by his regalia. And it came to pass. See what happened. When the captains of the chariots, 32 captains, saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. See who we are looking for. And they turned aside to fight against. But God saved him. What happened? Go back to verse 32. And Jehoshaphat cried out, help! Not be me, oh! And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot perceived that it was not the king of Israel. What happened? But that was God's mercy. Because if you read Chronicles, when he came back home, When he came back home, if you read Chronicles, the Bible said a prophet met him and rebuked him. You went out to anger with people that God has ordained for destruction. Then the prophet just said, if not that you have done good to the God of Israel, you would have been destroyed with Jehoshaphat, with Ahab. What company do you keep, child of God? Now we have started fasting and prayer. Even in the church, what association do you keep? Is it people that be telling you that this fasting, I beg, I can't kill myself. It's not by power. They're doing it too much. Is it such people? We humans, we carry spirits. And the people you associate with, you receive their spirits. You receive their spirits. So part of the empowerment keys we need for this year is we must keep the right associations. The right associations includes the church you go to. Because if you go to a church that is not spiritual, you will not be spiritual too. Are we together? So we must keep the right company. There are people that are enough to be acquaintances in your life, not friends. It says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So people are okay with the level of acquaintance. But when you say, see my friends. Brethren, if your friends are not going the same way with you, they will lead you on the wrong path. So we must watch the company we keep this year. It is part of the empowerment we need. Somebody shout hallelujah. You noticed what Absalom did in the story we read. It was great men that he won to himself, including Ahithophel. Because you saw the work of Ahithophel in his life. He started asking counsel from the mouth of Ahithophel. He started asking counsel, and his counsel was working. But God outsmarted him by leaving another man behind, an unfriendly friend, a man that was still loyal to David. And that one deceived him to take the wrong counsel. Praise the living God. Some of us have also taken wrong counsels as a result of the friends we keep. Brethren, let's be watchful. This is the planting season of this year, 2025. We should start looking inward. My close relationship with this person, how does it even profit me? You say you're a brother, a Christian, I'll come to you and everything you do is to pull me down in the spirit. I must let me reevaluate my walk with you. This is the period to do so. Watch the company you keep, right? Associations. And thirdly, another key for empowerment in this year, constant fellowship with God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Our daddy said it yesterday. I mean on Thursday evening. After this empowerment month, don't say, hey, we don't finish for the year. Then you walk out of the presence of God. Psalm 91 verse 1, what does he say? He that dwelleth, it is a present continuous tense. He that dwelleth, that means you remain there. Not that you dwelt there yesterday. You must continually dwell. That's the meaning of he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So anytime you come out of the secret place of the Most High, you have come out of from under the shadow of the Almighty. John chapter 15 from verse 1. So this year you must take your walk with God seriously. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruits. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Move on. Abide in me. This is my emphasis. Remain in me. To abide is to remain. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. When you cut off a branch from a tree, that branch dies and ceases to bring forth fruit. So it is with us. When we are cut off from our God, we cease to bear fruit. So this year, 2025, one of the ways for us to stay in power is by continuous dwelling in the presence of God. And that includes your own personal fellowship with God. As a Christian, you must have your time for God. Have time to pray. Have time to study. Have your fasting programs as a Christian. No matter how busy a businessman you are, you must have time for God. You must also not miss fellowship, because it is part of dwelling in His presence. Are we together, brethren? These are the 3 points, empowerment keys I'll drop this night. If we will add this and many others that will be told us within this 30 days period, this year, 2025, we shall walk in abundant grace. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord. So let's be on our feet. We'll soon come to the Lord's table. We are coming to Lord's